Lord has ministered something to me that we need here tonight. Amen. We're going to read the first two verses of Scripture in Leviticus 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Once again, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I'm glad it said that, ain't you? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I'm glad it wasn't just Moses' conscience talking. Come on. I'm glad it wasn't his imagination talking to him. I'm glad it wasn't just a dream that come by because of too many chili beans. Come on now. And the Lord. Anybody ever had the Lord speak to you? Come on now. How many knows when God says it, you better do it? Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. He said, I want you to speak to all of them. Not just the tribe of Judah. Not just the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I want you to get them all together. I want you to speak to the entire congregation, from the eldest all the way down to the least. There's something I've got to tell my people. Great God, if we've ever lived in a time when we need to hear from the voice of God, amen, it's the days we're living in now. You believe that? Amen. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy. Look at your neighbor with big wide eyes and say, Holy. Now look at somebody else and say, Ye shall be holy. Now point your finger up there and say, He's holy. And now I should be holy. I should be holy because He's holy. All right, lift your hands and let's pray. Father, we love You. We glorify You. We magnify You. We thank You for this opportunity tonight that You've granted unto us to come and to preach Your Word. God, would You walk among us and help us, God, to preach holiness. Oh, God, would You touch us by the power of Your Spirit. Lord, when we leave this place tonight, let there be not one doubt in anybody's mind about the requirements of the Lord of glory upon His people. When we leave here tonight, let there be not one question. Oh, God, let not one misleading statement be made from this pulpit tonight. Set a guard at my lips, O God, that I'll only speak those things that please You, those things that build up holiness and tear down worldliness, those things, O God, that exalt the kingdom of God and the centerpiece of the gospel being Jesus Christ. O God, and those things that tear down the devil's kingdom, we'll praise and glorify You for all that You do. Open our minds, our hearts, and our understandings. We'll give You glory and praise for it. Jesus' name. The church said, shake your neighbor's hand, tell him, I'm praying for the preacher tonight. I want to preach just for a little while on this thought, holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were penned by the hand of Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And those first five books of the Bible form a complete group known as the Pentateuch. Stay with me now. In the book of Genesis, we learn about man's ruin, amen, through the power of sin. In Exodus, we learn about redemption through the power of God. In the book of Leviticus, we learn about fellowship with God on the ground of atonement. In Numbers, we learn about God's guidance during the pilgrimage of His people. And in the book of Deuteronomy, we find out about the final destination of man after the completed discipline of God. In Genesis, we learn of the divine sovereignty of God. In Exodus, we learn of the divine power of God. In Leviticus, we learn of God's divine holiness. In Numbers, we learn of the divine goodness as well as the divine severity of God. And in the book of Deuteronomy, we learn of His divine faithfulness. Amen. And I want us to look at this middle book of these first five books of the Bible just for a little while. The book of Leviticus can readily be observed by anybody that reads it as a divine call to the holiness of the people of God. It lets us know that God insists upon, amen, He does not suggest, but He insists upon the sanctification of His people. Amen. Now, I know the hour and the day in which we live, we've got folks getting saved and going right to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but God still says you've got to be sanctified. Come on here now. God insists upon the sanctification of His people. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus 11 and 44, the Bible said these words, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, even as I am holy." Hallelujah. Now, that word sanctify means to make holy, to hallow, or to make pure from sin. Did you hear me? To make holy, to make pure from sin, or to hallow. Oh, Brother Troller, we've had them creep into the church of God in this last day that's tried to convince us that holiness is just a bylaw written down somewhere in the back pages of a minute book. That holiness, amen, has almost become an ugly word around the church, and lots of people refer to holiness or those that believe in a holiness lifestyle as a cult. They refer to us as pharisaical or legalistic, amen. But can I tell you, friend, holiness isn't a dirty word. Holiness is a clean word. Hallelujah. I said holiness not only is a divine mandate, not only is a divine commandment of God, but it is a divine invitation by God to His people. Come on up, He says, just a little bit higher, and be a partaker of my divine nature. Come on here. Come on up, He says, just a little bit higher, and take a piece of me into your bosom. Hallelujah. I know, amen, that lots of folks in the church of God now think that we can get saved and claim the power of God and claim the gifts and the goodness of God and keep right on sinning. But can I tell you, God desires for His people to be out of the sinning business. Amen. The Bible proves it in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 and following. Listen to the writer as he writes under the unction of the Holy Ghost and says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Let me stop right there so you can catch up with me. Amen. Every man that hath this hope, what hope? We are the sons of God, and when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know what He's saying, friend? Every man that says, "I am a Christian," every woman that stands and proclaims, "I have been washed in the blood," everybody that stands up and testifies and says, "I'm redeemed and I'm looking for the return of the Lord," He said, if you really and truly have that hope lying in your soul, you're going to purify yourself even as He is pure. Did you hear what He said? He said it's not an option. It's not a prayer request. He said if God's living inside of you, He will manifest Himself, because your nature will be changed. All things will pass away and all things will become new, and you indeed will begin to purify yourself even as He is pure. everyday ordinary North Carolina talk that just says, I want to be like Jesus. Come on here. I want to be like Jesus. Listen to what he went on to say in verse 4 and following. He said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I tell you, friend, it's God's desire that his church, his people, his blood-bought bride, his New Testament believers, his wonderful children, those, amen, that have been washed by the blood of his Son, it's God's desire that we be distinct from a lost and dying world. We're no longer to be bound by the beggarly elements of this world, but we're to rise above the power of sin through the precious blood of his Son. We're no longer to look like the world. We're no longer to talk like the world. We're no longer to act like the world. Why, we shouldn't even think like the world. Our attitude should be different. Our actions should be different. Our appetites should be different. Our appearances should be different. Everything about us should scream, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I've been born again by the power of the blood. Hallelujah. If I get too loud, just come turn me down. Amen. God wants us out of the sinning business. So immediately at the outset of this message, we begin to see God's call to separation. God's call to the distinction of his people from everyone else. In looking at the book of Leviticus, Brother Brian, we'll find, if we'll search it, that Leviticus is divided into two parts. Part 1 of the book of Leviticus, chapters 1 through 17, mostly, for the most part, they relate to the tabernacle and the laws concerning approaching God through atonement. And part 2, chapters 18 through 27, relates to the character and the conduct of the children of God. Amen. Part 1 teaches us the way of God, or the way to God by sacrifice. The way to God by sacrifice. And part 2 teaches us our walk with God by sanctification. Our walk with God by sanctification. In the New Testament, part 1 has already been fulfilled, for Jesus became the spotless lamb, and he died on a hill called Calvary. He sacrificed his own life that we indeed could come to God. But once we've completed part 1 and we've come to God through the shed blood of his Son, then we must immediately begin to work on part 2. We must begin to walk with God, amen, by a sanctified life. Remember what Christ prayed, amen, in John 17 and the 17th verse, amen, his high priestly prayer. He looked toward the portals of glory and he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Do you remember what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica? He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. I wish you'd help me preach a while. Amen. We see that God is calling us to a closer walk. He's calling us to a deeper experience. We don't have to live our lives burdened down with the same old things that kept us burdened down as sinners. We can live above it. I said we can live above it. We don't have to be bound by the same old habits that had us when we was worldlings. We're different now. I said we're different now. And God, we ought to be different. I'm just going to stand here and preach. Leviticus, the 18th chapter, the first 4 verses. The Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Come on now. Some of you have been toying with God, trifling with God, playing with God, seeing how close to the world you can live and still get away with it. You better remember He is still God. Hallelujah. I said He's still God. Amen. He said, I am the Lord your God. And listen to what He said after the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whether I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. I want you to understand how He began that particular passage of Scripture in Leviticus 18, the first four verses. Amen. Immediately He began this way. I am the Lord your God. And when He finished that discourse, He said it again. I am the Lord your God. Amen. So that must make what He said in between those two phrases very, very important. Did you hear what He told Moses? He said, call them together, boy, and I want you to preach to them. I'm the God, amen, that brought them out of Egypt. I'm the reason they're no longer in bondage. I'm the one that brought them from Egyptian bondage, from the sting of the taskmaster's whip, by my hand, by my might, and by my power. That God, He said, I want you to preach to them, son, and I want you to tell them, Moses, you tell them after the doings of Egypt, whether I brought them from, they shall no longer do. Did you hear what He said? He said, I brought them out of Egypt. I don't want them acting like Egyptians. I don't want them looking like Egyptians. I don't want them worshiping like Egyptians. I don't want them doing the same things that Egyptians do. He said, Moses, you tell them, I'm taking them to the land of Canaan. There's idol worshippers there. There's pagans there. He said, you better tell them they better not do what them Canaanites is doing. I want them to be separate. I want them to stand out. I want them to be apart. I want them to be sanctified. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Tig, Egypt is a clear representation of the world. A very clear representation of sin and bondage. God says, I brought you out of Egypt. So quit living like Egyptians. Come on now. Amen. You know, it gets on me bad, and I'm just going to bare my soul right here tonight. I don't know if we'll have church tomorrow night or not. Amen. You know, it gets on me bad. Our little homeless boys come strutting in the church with a little Egyptian girl hanging on his arm. Come on now. God said, not so, friend. I don't want you doing after the doings of the Egyptians. But Daddy, she's pretty, I mean. She's done got purple eyelids. And she's got rings on her fingers. And she's got pink fingernails. Leave her alone, son. Leave her alone, son. Get away from her, Kosataya. Get away from her. Hallelujah. And God, don't touch her. Amen. Stay away from her. God said, I want you to be different, boy. I want you to be different, girl. I don't want you to be like the rest of the world. I want you to be separated. Yeah. That's what He said. Amen. God wanted His people to be distinct in belief as well as lifestyle, in the way they thought as well as their actions. They should be different in their words, but not only their words, but in their deeds. You know, everybody you meet in the Pentecostal church anymore says their holiness. Not so. Come on now. Not so. Well, Brother Tig, you're preaching a lot of Old Testament. Listen to what the Bible said. In Romans 12 and 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you should present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. God. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion had light with darkness? What concord had Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will walk in them, and I will dwell in them, and I shall be their Mahosataya. I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, amen, he said, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I'll receive you. I got news for this lovey-dovey crowd. All they can preach is love, 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 but they'll hate your guts for preaching holiness. Come on now. Amen. Love, love, love. And they flit around like butterflies and roar like lions. Come on here now. Hell, you got to love them. You got to love them. You got to love them. I'm afraid. Amen. There's a lot of folks being loved right to the fiery flames of hell. God said, if you're going to serve me, you're going to have to get out of sin and business. If you're going to live for me, amen, he that nameth the name of Christ shall depart from iniquity. Come on here. He said, if you're going to be a follower of me, you're going to have to forsake all, take up your cross and follow me. Hallelujah. I don't understand why everybody in the world don't want to be holiness. I can't not figure it out for the life of me why everybody don't want to be holy. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through thy truth. Now we're going to get right down here. I know I probably lose revivals on account of this. But that's all right. Come on now. And I probably won't be the most popular preacher in Florida. Long as I'm popular on the streets of gold, that'll be all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Listen, friend. I found something not long ago I'm going to read to you. What is holiness? Everybody wants to know. What is holiness, Brother Tig? And everybody expects me to pull my list out and go through my top 10 of do's and top 10 of don'ts. And we might just get there before the message is over. Amen. That's what you're expecting me to do anyhow. So I might as well just oblige you. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, but everybody wants to know what is holiness, and everybody seems to have their own idea of what they think holiness is. I mean, one says, long as you don't smoke cigarettes, you're holiness. And another says, long as you don't wear earrings, you're holiness. And another says, it's all right. You can wear a dress to your ankles and a split to your hip, and you're still holiness. Come on now. There was one of them. Amen. God. Everybody's got their own philosophy. Had their own ideology of what they think holiness is. But what we're concerned with here tonight is, what is Bible holiness? What is God's holiness? What is the kind of holiness that God wants us to live? Listen to what this says that I found. It says true holiness or Bible holiness. Listen, to be holy means to be free from sin in a sinful world, to be free from guilt and defilement. Holiness holiness means that the world is not innocent, although we're in a sinful world. Say amen. Holiness is to the soul what health is to the body. Holiness is God's way of keeping His people not from experiencing temptation, but from yielding to temptation. Did you hear what He said? Holiness is empowerment to live the Christian life. It's balancing the inner power against the outer demands. Holiness is protection against the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Holiness is central in the plan and program of God. Listen, holiness, God is holiness personified. Jesus is holiness incarnate. The Holy Ghost is holiness executed. Sinai is holiness demanded. Calvary is holiness provided. The Bible is holiness explained. Salvation is holiness experienced. The sanctified saint is holiness demonstrated. I said the sanctified saint is holiness demonstrated. Winning souls is holiness in action. The rapture is holiness promoted. Heaven is holiness consummated. Holiness is central in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It shouts from the mountain peaks of Bible history. It's the angel's song. It's the saint's theme. It's the climaxing purpose of Christ's mission and the central theme of His message. Holiness is the heart of the Gospels. Holiness is the backbone of the book of Acts. Holiness is the lifeblood of the epistles. I said holiness, holiness, holiness unto the Lord. It's not popular, but it's still right. I said it's still right. Hallelujah. Thank God it's still right. Well, I don't think God's concerned with all that holiness business. I might preach for 2 hours tonight. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles 16:29 said, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come on now. You ought not even be worshiping God outside the beauty of holiness. Come on here. In Psalms 30:4 He said, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. That's all right. Psalms 93:5, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Isaiah 35:8, and an highway shall be there in the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Luke 1:74, and the prophet in the temple said, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin, free from sin, free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having been therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Titus 2:3, that the age women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness. Hebrews 12:14 said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Isaiah 62:12 said, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And I tell you, friend, holiness is God's crowning attribute. God's crowning attribute. Somebody said it's His love. Not so. Bible said God is love. Somebody said it was His grace. And oh God, where would we be Because by grace are you saved through faith. And somebody said one time that the crowning attribute of the great God of glory is mercy. Because we'd all be in a devil's hell if it were not for His mercy. But I will tell you, without compromise and without looking at the ceiling or the carpet. It is not His love, it is not His grace, and it is not His mercy, but it is His holiness. Isaiah saw it in Isaiah the 6th chapter, caught up in a vision to the very throne room of God. He said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings. With 20 He covered His face, with 20 He covered His feet, and with 20 He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And I tell you, friend, they didn't cry, love, 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 or mercy, 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 or grace, grace, grace. Come on. They said, He's holy. 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 They cried, holy, holy, holy. Oh, listen, friend, years and years later, John the Revelator called up to the very same throne room. He said, they ceased not crying day and night, holy, holy, holy. If we could somehow get a glimpse of the portals of glory, we'd see them angels flying right now. And you know what they'd be saying? Holy, 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 holy. That's right. Deuteronomy 7:6 said, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. I'm going to tell you, we're not the minority. Not in heaven. Because we're going to be the only ones there. Come on now. Come on now. You heard them folks that say, oh, they think they're the only ones going. You don't have to think that. Holiness, folks, is the only ones going. Did what the Bible said? That's right. If you're Baptist, you better be a holy Baptist. Come on now. If you're Methodist, you better be holiness. Come on now. If you're Church of God, you better be holiness. Come on here. Hey, man, if you're independent, you better be holiness. Come on now. Because holiness, people, is going to be the only other people there. Did you hear what He said? God hath chosen thee this day to be a special people unto Himself. Now, first started preaching, you know, things are swirling around, the Jim Bakers, the Jimmy Swaggerts. I'd been saved about 2 years, maybe 3 years, before God called me to preach. I found myself in certain groups, you know, especially on the job site, folks that take notice of you. And I'm sure they've done you the same way. And some folks had even guessed that I was a preacher. I think that's a good thing. They ought to know it. Amen. Amen. Without you wearing a t-shirt with a bloody cross on it that says, I'm a believer. Come on now. Come on, without your ball cap that says, I'm a Christian. Come on here. They ought to know the way you live your life, that you're different from them. Come on. They ought to know the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you dress, the way you act. They ought to know there's something different about you. Amen. And folks oftentimes would say, hey, you're a preacher, ain't you? I'd say, yeah, I'm a preacher. And the next question was inevitable, Brother Brad. They'd say, what kind of preacher are you? And sometimes I'd find myself looking down, you know. Kind of say it real fast. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. Come on here. I'm Pentecostal. Because I didn't want to be associated with that crowd that was blaming things on the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost didn't have nothing to do with. I've seen a lot of things blamed on Him. Amen. But I've got a cure for them, Brother Troller. When they ask me now, what kind of preacher are you? I don't say I'm Pentecostal. I don't say I'm Church of God. Come on here. I square my shoulders and I stand up tall and I say I'm a holiness preacher. Amen. I'm the same kind Paul was. I'm the same kind Silas was. And I'm a Hosata. I'm the same kind Stephen was. I'm the same kind Jesus was. I'm a holiness preacher. At God. I'm a holiness preacher. Amen. You know why I do that? Because God said we're special. I said He said we're a special people. Special people. Deuteronomy 26 said, and the Lord hath vouched this day to be His peculiar people as He hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all His commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which He hath made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God as He hath spoken. Sit there, that's all right. 1 Peter 2:9 said, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah, we're special, we're different. In that Old Testament, those first five books of the Bible, we learn, amen, that the tabernacle was a threefold structure. It consisted of the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies, or the most holy place. Israel, in much the same way, was a threefold community. Amen, it consisted of the congregation, the priesthood, and the high priest. Can I tell you, friend, the high priest was the epitome of holiness in the Old Testament. He was to be the perfect picture of a sanctified saint in an Old Testament setting. Just the other day I was reading in Exodus 28 and I found something that interested me greatly. God began to give a picture to Moses about the outer garments of Aaron or the high priesthood. And among those outer garments, the Bible said he was to wear a mitre or a turban upon his head. Around that turban there was to be tied a ribbon of blue. A ribbon of blue. Right in the center of that turban, attached to that blue ribbon, there was a gold plate with an insignia written upon it. Right there on the forehead of the high priest, amen, on the forefront of that mitre. And God said, and it shall always be upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. Do you know what that little gold plate said? It said holiness to the Lord. Hallelujah. Holiness unto the Lord. Can I tell you, God said if he comes into my holy place without that upon his forehead, he's going to die. Come on here. He's going to die. Good thing he ain't doing that now around the New Testament church. We spend our time dragging out dead men. Come on here. Amen. God wants you to be holy in the way you think, in the way you walk, in your everyday life, in your business transactions. He wants you to be innocent, pure, and clean before a lost world. What is holiness? Brother Tig, God's holy. He's a holy God. Jesus is holy. He's a holy Son. His Spirit's holy. He's a Holy Ghost. Come on now. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness in the church has almost become a byword or a bad word. Amen. Men say that holiness is outdated. Amen. Some of you may not know, we've transferred our church membership to Florida. We're Florida evangelists now. You're stuck with us. Amen. Brother Bill Wooten's my pastor, and kind of in this state, he's got a reputation of being strict. That's all right. That's why I put my membership there. Come on now. That ain't the only reason. I wouldn't put it in a liberal church, though. Come on here. Can I say something right here, Brother Troll, without anybody getting offended at me? If my membership was in a liberal church, I would not get up and walk out. I'd run. Come on now. I'd find me a holiness church. I'd find me a holiness preacher. I'd find me a holiness Sunday school teacher. I'd find me somebody that taught it right. Somebody that preached it right. Somebody that loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Somebody that had some backbone. Somebody that wouldn't jellyfish and lay down on it. But somebody that wouldn't shun to declare unto me the whole counsel of God. If it skipped my heart, if it smoked me, amen, if he had to strip me down every time I come to church, I'd find me a holiness pastor. Come on here now. I got news for your friend, for you friend. The holiness preacher is the best friend you've got outside of Jesus. It's the holiness preacher that'll stand and preach to you about hell with tears in his eyes because he don't want you to go there. It's the holiness preacher that's concerned about how you dress, that's concerned about how you look, that's concerned about how you represent the church of God. Amen. A holiness preacher is the friend of the church. What is holiness? But as he which hath called you is holy, Peter said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Somebody out there might think we're holiness. Holiness is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving your neighbor as yourself. You're going to get mad at me, but it's Thursday, so that's all right. Holiness is bowing down to God instead of getting mad at the preacher. When he preaches on your finger rings, holiness will pull them off. Brother Troller said, holiness is when he preaches on your culottes and your short pants. Not only will you not wear them to church functions, you won't even wear them at home anymore. Come on now. Holiness is humbling down before God. When that preacher preaches on them sheer see-through skirts you've been wearing, so tight you can't hardly walk, holiness will pull them off and throw them away. Come on here now. Say amen. Well, you're quiet. That's all right. Holiness. Holiness, women don't wear pantsuits to church. Holiness, women don't even wear pantsuits. Come on now. I know that Brother Levi Strauss, good Jewish man, he done crept into the holiness church and said, it's all right, ladies. You can wear my blue jeans now. I've painted a pretty little pink flyer on the back pocket. Come on now. But God said in Deuteronomy 22:5, it's an abomination unto the Lord for you to wear what pertaineth to a man, or for a man to wear that pertaineth to you. Come on, help me preach just a little holiness right here. Amen. Brother Troller told me, you're coming to a holiness church to preach, son. I just want to preach a little holiness. Amen. There was a time that saints of God would be shouting all up and down the aisles of the church at preaching like this. Come on. Come on here. Amen. Can I tell you, holiness don't get mad. Holiness don't blow up. Holiness don't rise up against the Word of God. But holiness says, oh God, I'm opening my heart to you. I'm putting my soul in your hands. And I'm letting you do in me what you desire to do. What is holiness? Holiness said in 1 Corinthians 11, if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. But a woman's long hair is a glory unto her. I ain't preaching no holiness all week. Suppose God said, if you get a long piece of rope, I'm preaching about holiness now. Everybody wants to know what long is. That's because they got an argumentative spirit instead of a holiness one. What is long? Suppose God said, Brother Brad, you're going to get to go to heaven if you get a long piece of rope and you have that long piece of rope when I return. Son, you're going to get the longest piece of rope you can find. Come on. You're going to go get you a truckload of rope. And chances are you ain't going to trim 1/4 inch off the end of it. Come on now. Because you ain't going to want to take any chances. Because God said long. Come on now. That 1/4 inch might not be long. Come on. I don't know about you, but if I was a woman, I'd want it just as long as it get. Come on, get mad or get in. I said I'd want it just as long as I could get it. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Why don't you quit worrying about how long is and just get on in. Sell out to God and let Him have His way. Hallelujah. Oh, can I tell you, friend, we've got a church full of sissy preachers with hair down on their collars saying, brother, my hair ain't long. What they need is a $5 haircut. Come on now. And quit arguing with God. Quit arguing with God. And just get in and do it. Hallelujah. I got news. I got saved in a worldly church. And when I come to the holiness church, the first holiness message I ever heard preached, an evangelist preached it, and he preached holiness or hell. Amen. He said it's either or. He said in the church of God, it started out with wedding bands, and then they grew clusters. Come on now. Amen. I went a step further. Not only did they grow clusters, they jumped off around their wrist and around their neck. They got on their fingers. Listen, they're wearing them on their toes now. There was a time Church of God preachers preached against their women wearing earbobs. Now the little boys are wearing them. Come on. I said, now the little boys are wearing them around camp meeting time. Help me preach now. Amen. 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 Oh, what is holiness? Holiness is just getting in and doing what God wants you to do unswervingly. No questions asked. But it's all right. I know how it starts. Holiness, sister's been holiness for years. They'll say it's all right to get me a Jesus pin. Come on now. Holiness tie tack. Says WWJD. Come on here now. Amen. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right just to get me a pinky ring. That won't really hurt nothing, will it?
Come on, man. Amen. I ain't shooting at nobody. I'm just preaching right out of my heart. Amen. Come on now. Oh, but preacher, wedding band's all right. You know wedding band's all right. It stands for something. It means I'm married. Amen. Listen, my class ring stood for something. Amen. My big $250 gold nugget ring stood for something. It meant I had more money and I had sense. Come on now. Amen. That mother's ring says you got children. Come on now. That dinner ring says you're rich. Come on here. Where are we going to stop it? Where are we going to cut it off? Amen. And God, he said not to adorn yourself with gold or pearls or costly array. He said lay it aside. Hallelujah. When I first come to holiness, that preacher preached holiness or hell. I got up enough nerve and I went back the next night. You know what he preached? Judgment must begin at the house of God. I knew I'd found what I'd always been looking for. Amen. I got in that church and my pastor in North Carolina just reinforced and kept on preaching what that evangelist had preached in that revival. I mean, it was a holiness church. Hallelujah. I wanted to be so much like them people. Amen. I don't know what it feels like to get mad at the preacher. I've never been mad at one. Come on. I don't know what it feels like to rise up and say, I don't want that. Amen. I've never had that happen down in my soul. So I don't know what some of you is going through right now. Amen. And if that preacher would have preached, I got to get rid of my ties, I'd have thrown everyone I had away. I wouldn't ask him no questions. If he'd have said, if you wear brown shoes, you can't be holiness, I'd have thrown every pair of brown shoes I had away. Come on now. If he said, you got to cut them brass buttons off your suit coat, I'd have got me a pair of scissors and cut them off. You know why? I just wanted what them people had. I knew they had something that I didn't have. Hallelujah. And I tell you, holiness people glow. Holiness people shine. Amen. They've looked at me, Brother Troll, and they said, Brother Teague is one of them old bondage preachers. You know, he spends his time trying to put everybody in bondage. I'm telling you, friend, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. I've never been so free in all of my life. I've never had such liberty in all of my life. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. How about you? I'll tell you, the ones that are in bondage, those souped up preachers' wives, spend 2 hours in front of the mirror putting their face on before they can go outside because they're afraid somebody will see what they really look like. That's bondage, Brother Kenny. That's bondage. Oh, I want to be free, don't you? I want to be free. Sister Tig, I bought her when we got engaged a big old diamond cluster. Hey, am I preaching this with the wrong spirit? I don't want to preach with the wrong spirit. Big old diamond cluster. Boy, that thing's almost as big as a dime. You talking about lighting up. Son, she lit up when she opened that thing. Put it on her finger. I made payments to Zales Jewelry like a car payment on that thing. Hallelujah. You talking about proud. We'd go out to eat and she'd find some reason. So everybody could see it. Come on now. I've seen Church of God women do the same thing. She was a sinner. I've seen Church of God women do the same. I've seen them prance in their high heel shoes. Come on now. You know, I don't know how you believe it, but I preach y'all to sew them splits up. Put a pin in them or something. Because that skirt's only as long as that split. But the problem is, if you sew it up, you won't be able to walk because you got it on so tight. Come on here now. You know why you ain't been shouting in the altar? You can't shout. You ain't got enough room. Come on now. You know why you ain't been getting in? You're afraid somebody's going to see your immodesty because that big split up to here. Come on here now. Amen. I want to be covered. I want my wife to be covered. When God shakes me, I want to be able to shake. When He says run, I want to be able to run. Amen. When He says lift your hand, I don't want to be lifting it to flash off my diamond. I want to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting unto an almighty God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach about holiness under the Lord. Hallelujah. And God, can I tell you the reason so many people are turned off on holiness? We've had them come by and skin just for the sake of skinning. I mean, we've had those that say, I'm going to skin your hide and tag it to the wall. And we've had folks run off and we've had hurt feelings. God help me to preach holiness with a good spirit. God's not just going to lord over you with a big stick and whip you into submission. He's given you an invitation, friend. He said, come on. Come on, try me. Come on, prove me. Come on, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Come on, let me show you that you can live with all of that excess. You can live without all of that and unnecessary stuff. Come on, hallelujah. I remember, I'm going to close. How many still loves Brother Teague? Sister Teague, when we first come to holiness, and she washed out all that Mary Kay off, Avon and Revlon and Maybelline. You know what amazes me? When they come to the altar and weep and cry, God's washing their face the whole time. I just wanted to just reach over and help them get it off. I ain't never had guts enough to do it, but I wanted to. Amen. Sister Tig, her family didn't understand, and neither did mine, about the changes that was taking place in her life. You know what they called her? Plain Jane. We went to a funeral down east right after she quit wearing all that stuff, and they said, you look sick. Had your blood pressure checked lately? That's what they asked her. She said, I feel fine. I just got sanctified. Amen. But they said, Plain Jane. I said, yep, just as plain as soap. Hallelujah. After all, the Bible said He'll beautify the meek with salvation. That's the kind you can't wash off. Come on here. You'll be pretty when you go to bed and pretty when you get back up. Come on now. You'll be pretty in the midnight hour and pretty at 5 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Because He'll beautify you with salvation. You ever seen anybody just glowed? Amen. Just glowed with the glory of the Lord. Not one stick of eyeliner ever touched their eye, but they still glowed. Didn't have ruby red lips. Mm-mm. Didn't have brown eyes that they'd done turned blue with them contacts. Come on, it's just worldly as the rest of it, ain't it? Didn't have to wear a mini skirt to get your attention. Just plain Jane. But you knew they had something. Because the way they lived and the countenance that God had put upon them. When folks see me, I want them to say, there goes a Christian man. Amen. Right before he died, had opportunity to teach a Sunday school lesson in the living room of Wade H. Horton, one of the greatest holiness preachers the Church of God has ever had. There I sat, right in his living room, teaching him a Sunday school lesson. Got his signature in my Bible, just so I can say I got it. Wade H. Horton. Know what he told me? Holiness is still right. Come on now. Amen. He said, holiness is still right. It's good to be born by. It's good to die by. Some of this stuff some of these people's got, I wouldn't want to die by it. Amen. Amen. When I lay down in death, I want to know that I've lived right. Hallelujah. By the help and the good grace of God, I want to know everything's all right between me and God. He said, Moses, I want you to preach to them, son. Tell them they ought to be holy even as I'm holy. Because I'm their God and they're my people. And I tell you, when God can come down and put His seal on us, all the world will know that we're holiness unto the Lord. It ain't just in how you dress. That's only a fourth of it. Come on now. I know Jezebels that wouldn't cut a quarter of an inch off their hair. Some of the meanest devils I know go to holiness churches. Come on here. Their skirt nearly so long it drags their tracks out when they walk. And their telephone bill's that long too. Come on now. Holiness grapevines that keep everything stirred up all the time. Listen, just because there's a few among us that way, that don't mean that way of living's wrong. It don't mean holiness is wrong. Real holiness will sell out to God and love Him with all their heart. I want to love Him with everything, don't you?